Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boy Flip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauder Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delbar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Yes. Oh, boy. I'm using a different computer tonight, and I almost got lost in what I was doing here. welcome to the show.
Is it a new – I guess it's a new computer because you said your Dell was an older one or something? Or
yeah, we've had it for a while, but I hardly ever use it. I just use the laptop whenever I'm doing anything. I just pop into the laptop because it's sitting right here. And this is I top into the desktop, rather, and I do it on the Dell desktop. And I've been using it for a long time, and I just sit down and do that. Well, this is a gateway laptop, and it's got Vista in it. And I'm not that familiar with Vista. So when I go to look at something, this is Windows 10? Oh, Vista's in the in the desktop. Okay, Vista's in the desktop. See, I don't even know that. So, but it's got Windows 10, and it's, you know, different things. I go to look and pull up something from the bottom, and it's not there, and it's just different things to look at and all that. I'm not used to the icons, so.
Yeah, it is. I just got Windows 10 not too long ago, and it's a little bit of a learning curve. I had 7 before, and going to 10, yeah, there's a couple things I had to. I looked at it and I go, where is this?
exactly. And that's when and every time I use this, I do that too. I can't find something. I mean, on the desktop, I know where everything is. And then I go on this and I search and I go, oh, there it is. And then the next time I use it, I say, now how did I get there? And so I start all over again. So,
it's different. Yeah. But so far it's stable, so at least they got that good. So, it's good so far. Well, we have some great topics tonight, and I already put it on Twitter, so if anybody's following us on Twitter, you want to retweet that, let me know, and if you want to retweet it, then maybe I'll mention you on the show. But let's get the we'll get the show started, and there's no events this weekend at the winery, I don't believe. I didn't see anything. It was the last weekend, busy weekend, but so this weekend is a out-of-town weekend.
It is. And they're saying, I read in the paper, they're saying that there are going to be more travelers on the road and in the air and on trains and on buses, whatever, this weekend than there has been since 2005.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ooh. So they said all prices are down and people are traveling. They expect more travelers than since 2005. So, wow.
Okay. Well, you can still come to the winery, definitely.
Yes.
I mean, that's 7 days a week. So just because there's no event coming down doesn't mean you can't enjoy a wine tasting or just the ambiance if you want to, and a great bottle of wine. So come on. And the strawberry port. But don't take too many of it because I'm going to go down there again sometime and get another bottle.
That's right. Actually, I'm bottling the strawberry port this week or next week. Ooh. It's that time, and so I'm bottling strawberry port. So, but we have some though. I'm not out. It's just perfect timing. It all came together just like it's supposed to. So,
good.
But we still have some. So come by and enjoy some.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, and maybe we'll talk about port later.
Actually, we'll talk a lot about port later because that's the subject tonight. We're going to talk about port.
All right.
Good segue, Mike. Good segue.
Yeah.
We talked about brandy last week, and I was thinking, okay, what are we going to do? And then I'm thinking, well, I'm bottling port. Why don't we talk about port? Update everyone on port. It's been a while since I've talked about port, and so. We'll do a port this week. Maybe sherry next week. That'll just get all the fortifieds out of the way. Brandy, port, and sherry. So maybe we might do sherry next week. So, but first, before we go into port, it's time for real estate, and we don't have real estate music yet. Still, wow. So you want to hum a little something in the background?
I don't know what does real estate music sound like?
I have no idea. But that music was good for me sipping wine here, so I like that.
I don't know if I have maybe saws? Maybe saws or somebody clipping plants or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Sipping. What would real estate music be?
And what are you drinking?
I am drinking Florida Estates Winery Plantation White. Yeah,
very
it's
good.
Light, fruity, good to enjoy by itself or with friends. That's what the little thing says on our thing we hand out. And, you know, my engineer here poured me a glass of it, and I tasted it, and I go, Pinot Grigio? I didn't know we had any Pinot Grigio. And she goes, no, that's our Plantation White. And, just tastes a lot like Pinot Grigio. It surprised me. People come in and say, I like a Pinot Grigio, and I pour them this, and I'm right. It tastes like a Pinot Grigio. It really does. So,
very good.
Oh, well. Good. Yeah, that will work for real estate music. Real estate music. Anyone out there knows real estate music? Let us know. I don't know what real estate music would be. I don't know. Yeah.
Good question.
So, well, got some real estate for you. Again, as always, if you're interested, email me, call me, text me. Well, you can't text me. Email me, call me. You could text me if you knew my number, but you know I don't have my cell number out there. Or you can tweet Mike and he can pass it on during one of his tweet sessions or any of those things. But if you're interested, get a hold of us. We will be happy to give you the contact information for all these. They're not, I don't pass on the contact information because actually they should pay me if I do that. So I'm not doing it, but I'm still giving them a major service here for free because All About Wine reaches the four corners of the earth. Yeah. So first one, Vinos Vineyard, 20 acre property at the top of Mount Veeder, original homestead of the Wall family, 6 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc vines planted in 2013. So they're just about ready for harvesting now. I mean, full harvest, if you allow 5 years, so planted in 13. So next year they should be coming out of the ground. A winery site potential. So this is not a winery. This is 20 acres with grapevines planted. And so interested, call me. Winery and restaurant. High traffic location in Fairplay. Fully equipped restaurant, outside dining with winery and tasting room, zone commercial. Wow. Fair place in the foothills of California, by the way, in that area, east of Sacramento. Price for the restaurant and dining is $699,000, which is a reasonable price. That's not bad at all. So, Walla Walla, Washington winery lease, 20,000 square foot operating since 1984. Includes tanks, crush through bottling equipment, an approximate capacity 35,000 cases, and it is available right now as we speak. So if you're interested, give me a call. We'll get you connected right now. Vines Taster Room and B&B, 67 plus acres, includes B&B Ranch House with 7 rooms, 5 acre planted of vines. Doesn't say what type. Tasting room, winery possible. Now here you go again. You have to build your own winery. It's not there yet. Horseback, hiking trails, and all that is available. It's in the Fairplay region. Also, Fairplay again in the foothills. Fairplay's, you know, wasn't they raising taxes or something up there, and people are selling. This is only $980,000. So between the two of them, you can get yourself a winery with all the equipment and everything, and then have your B&B here, so you have your land and all that. Alexander Valley Cab Vineyard, Alexander Valley. Hard to find 54 acres with 45 planted to cab, I assume Sauvignon. Riverfront. Excellent location. Grapes are very good quality. Under contract, over average district prices paid. So it is something with a contract already, so it can pay for itself. No price listed. Alexander Valley Producing Vineyard. 65.5 total acres with elevated potential building sites. And 33.5 estimated acres of planted vineyard. Estimated acres. Grapes are contracted locally, so there you already have a market. Varieties include Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel with 21.5 plus or minus acres of Cab Sauv, newly planted and coming into production. So your 33.5 acres is expanding to over 50 acres. Also, 4 plus or minus acres of older cab and 8 plus or minus acres of Zinfandel. Seller had winery approved for property, but let permit expire. I don't know what it takes now to get permits out there, but from what I understand, California is, you know, little picky on some of that stuff, but if it's already been established, it should not be a problem. Asking $3,850,000, but it's 65.5 acres, so you got quite a bit there. Vineyard Estate, 19 acres, 3 bedroom, 2.5 bath, 9.7 acre vineyard planted in Chardonnay, Riesling, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. also includes an agricultural building, $599,000. No winery, but it's got the vineyards and the building and house and all that. Here's a new one for you, a craft distillery for sale. The turnkey opportunity includes all equipment, inventory, trademarks, and licenses. Product has received numerous medals and good press. Currently, it's a lease facility. They're looking at selling it. So if you're into craft beers instead of wine, there's an opportunity there. Home and winery for sale. A beautiful setting in Washington's South Puget Sound. It doesn't say any more than that. I don't know anything else, but that is a gorgeous area there. If you've ever been there, you know. If you haven't been there, it is just beautiful up in that area. Home and winery for sale. Home, winery, and vineyard for sale in beautiful Calaveras County. For those of you who know, Calaveras County is made famous by Mark Twain and the Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. 5.21 acres with 900 vines of Barbera and Sangiovese. Barbera. I love Barbera. I talked to some people about it the other day. 340-degree views, all winery equipment included, and it's less than a half $1 million. It's coming at $495,000. Home, winery, and vineyard for $495,000. What a deal. It really is. In California, that's great. Foothill Winery, price reduced. 40 acres, 15-acre vineyard, cash flow positive, includes tasting room, three-bedroom house in a peaceful setting, $1,650,000. With an established tasting room and winery, hey, that pays for itself. Alexander Valley Cab Vineyard, hard to find, 54 acres with 45 planted to cab on a riverfront. Excellent location, grapes are very good quality, under contract over average district prices paid. I just read that. That also sounds familiar. Maybe I did. Yeah, I did. Thought I crossed off the ones that was duplicate, but obviously I missed that one. Rancho de Amor Vineyard and Winery. 10 acres with tasting room, winery, building, barn, event area. Merlot and Sauvignon Blanc includes three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house. Also a greenhouse and a cottage. Well, that's a good deal. That is only $649,000. And again, Rancho de Amor is up in the foothills, more east of Sacramento in that area, to give you an idea. Beautiful, beautiful area up there. It's just, easy access to just about everything. You can play in the ocean over in San Francisco in the morning and be up in Lake Tahoe in the evening and get stuck in snow if you're there the right time of year. So, it's a lovely place to be. Large Lake County Producing Vineyard, attractive investment opportunity, 139 acres of fertile level vineyard ground with 130 acres in production and 16 acres fallow and ready to replant. Now that confuses me right away there, 139 acres of fertile level vineyard ground with 130 in production and 16 ready to replant. That doesn't add up to 139, but okay. No buildings, two legal parcels, and an 8-acre foot pond provide water for irrigation and frost protection. Located within minutes of Kelseyville and bordered by paved roads, various varieties and all but one Zin block on a resistant rootstock. Price to sell at $2,700,000. Lake County is north of Napa, that area up there, Mendocino. So $2,700,000. Artesian Winery for sale. This is in Western Washington. Winery has been in operation for over 10 years. Currently 1,100 cases a year. Kids don't want to take over, so Donnie would like to slow down. Options available, everything you need. So you can work with him. I'm sure that he would be willing to stay on, so you don't have to really be a winemaker to get this. Yeah, I'm sure he would be willing to show you the ropes and everything. Western Washington, you're away from the water and getting close over there to Idaho and not too far from Yellowstone Park when you're getting in that area. So easy drive to Yellowstone. So no price, but that is available. Home and winery for sale. Beautiful setting in Washington, South Puget Sound. Again, I read that earlier. I was just saw it again here, and I didn't cross off the first one. Why am I slipping there? I thought I went through and got all of those, but obviously I did not. There we go. Wine for sale, because I already highlighted it, so I wouldn't forget it. And I... Anderson Valley Vineyard Potential. Anderson Valley, 42 acres with approximately 20 acres plantable. Now, when they say it that way, obviously it is not planted. South-facing slopes, which is good. Cellar in process of having well drilled, which is also very good. Approximately 1 mile west of Boonville. High-end Pinot Noir vineyards surround the property. So, Pinot Noir brings in a good price out in California. Here we go. Here's a big one for you. And I'm sorry, but there's no price at the end of this, but this is 37 acres of true river frontage located on Sherman Island in Sacramento County, just over the bridge from Antioch. 10 minutes to Oakley and Brentwood. You don't know California? Let me paint a little bit better picture. Antioch is east of Oakland and right around, just a little north and a little east of Concord and, I got a blank on it. What's the name of that town? Walnut Creek. Walnut Creek, Concord's right there, and Antioch is north and east up by the Sacramento River. In fact, they said, Sherman Island in Sacramento County. So just over the bridge from Antioch. So actually, you're going across. Easy access and commute to San Francisco, San Jose, Sacramento, East Bay, new BART extension only 10 minutes away. And yes, it is. BART is the Bay Area Rapid Transit. They've extended up there and up to Antioch now. So it can take you from Antioch all the way over to San Francisco and then south to the airport and all over the place. Great, great system. Extension only 10 minutes away. Amazing views of Mount Diablo, located right on the San Joaquin River. Three separate consecutive lots with 3 acres of Merlot grapes. Wine-making equipment included. Elegant winery on site with marble floors, stone interior, and a commercial kitchen, which is nice because you'd probably be able to set up, a restaurant or something. Winery has special use permit and can be used for events, weddings, etc. So there you go. No catering. Take care of all that yourself. Lovely outdoor weddings. ABC wine growers permit can be transferred. So you can have the permit. One single family home can be built on each lot. But there are 3 lots, so you can build 3 homes if you like. Check with the Sacramento County for specs. 3,000 feet of river frontage with slip dock. So, wow, quite a pretty picture that thing paints there. If you're interested, let me know. I will be happy to get you in contact with the person that is brokering that. And 5.94-acre Santa Cruz Mountain Vineyard. This is planted in Pinot Noir, Merlot, Syrah, and Zinfandel. Winery and winemaking equipment, farm equipment, all included. Well, excellent well, already dug and operating. 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath. Includes ponds, ocean view from the gazebo, and an outdoor kitchen. Santa Cruz Mountains, north of San Francisco. $2.5 million. Here's this one in home and winery in Puget Sound again. Boy, this thing keeps popping up here. It's not being sold. Cool Canaros Ranch house for sale. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, 360 vineyard view. So you got vineyards planted all around you. New renovation, hardwood, new appliances, WD hookup, patio, short-term lease available. Now it's only $3,250 a month. So if you want to live in Canaris Ranch House, $3,250 a month rent. You can be right there in the middle of all the vineyards and everything. Salinas Bonded Warehouse. If you have grapes, or if you buy one of these, you need some place to store it. Salinas is in South Bay, south of San Jose, just east of Monterey, actually, in that area. Artesian Winery for sale. No, this one I've just read. It only takes over the kids don't want to operate it. So there I go again. I didn't do a very good job at double-checking my things here, didn't I? Sonoma County Winery for sale or lease. 50,000 case use permit, 264,000 stainless steel tanks, 60-ton glycol system, truck dock, sell or lease, all are parked. So that's in Sonoma. Vineyard Estate, 26-acre, 3-bedroom house with pool, 10-acre vineyard. Perfect for tasting room and winery with a paved road. That's only $599,000. And it looks like that might be in the foothills area. I don't know, but I'm looking at the broker here, and he usually deals in that area, so I would think that's foothills. Winery vineyard with B&B. Price reduced. Great opportunity for cash-positive combination at Gateway to Kings Canyon and Sequoia Park. Turnkey offering includes everything. Consulting winemaker desires to continue, and current owners will assist in transition. North County Properties. So I didn't say exactly where, but it does. King Canyon and Sequoia Park. So, and no price. But there you go. There's our real estate for this time. And I say this time because I've missed it the last couple of months. That's why I had to get caught up on so much of it. If you're interested, call, email.
Some of those are really cheap. I'm
sorry.
I said some of those are really cheap. I'm really surprised at the prices that they're having. Is it? I mean, I don't know. Is it? Do you think they're bailing out because of the conditions over there? The water situation? Are they affected by that, or are they just we tried it and now we're out of the business, or what?
Good point. Very good point. And I don't know. The water situation is critical. And this El Nino that they expected to save California did not. It still didn't bring in as much rain as they had hoped, and it didn't do as well as they had hoped. And it's still a problem with water there. And the wells are nice and they're great, but those things are regulated also. They're putting meters in a lot of the wells out there so you don't overpump. And if you do pump a lot, they charge you extra for the extra water. And so all that's an issue. And you're right. They may be bailing. I don't know. That's a very good question and a very good observation. And I do not have an answer for you.
Yeah. So, heard a lot of California properties on there and the prices. I'm thinking, okay,
yeah, and California's expensive. You're right. And the prices are cheap on here for California. I mean, it's just, it's frightening to think that that many people are actually bailing on it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about that too when I was sorting this out earlier today. I'm thinking, boy, these prices are really, really, some of these are really low. And just even without the vineyards and stuff, you know, I mean, just anywhere, these are low prices. But when you start getting in, you know, Sonoma and hill country are the foothills and things like that, then the prices are just really, really low. So,
yeah,
it's, I don't know. And considering that I've never been able to find a real estate person from there that would be willing to come on like once every month or so, we can't ask them, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Well, one of these days, hopefully we'll get
somebody. Yeah, good observation. I don't have an answer.
All right. Let's see.
But
all right,
there's our real estate section for this time. Again, give us a call if you're interested in any of the properties or anything. And Mike's right. The prices are surprisingly low on some of those properties, especially for what they're offering. Port. We're going to talk about Port now. Port is from the Portugal region of France, or from the Douro region, Portugal region of France. Jeez, Ron. From the Douro Valley region of Portugal, northern Portugal. It's fortified, as brandy's added to it, brings alcohol level up. It is made typically sweet, but you can find some drier ones, semi-dry, white varieties and stuff like that. You can also find strawberry port. Ta-da, that's what I make. It's a sweet wine. What I make, most ports are. The fortified wines and solid port that are produced outside of Portugal are United States, obviously Australia, France, South Africa, Canada, India, Argentina. All these areas make a port, although they can't call it a port anymore. We've talked about the name designation law that went to effect back in March 14, 2006. And because of that, port is protected. For a long time, port in Portugal, they referred to their port as Porto, just to distinguish it from everyone else calling it port. But the Portuguese pronunciation is more of a Vijo de Porto, and so that's why they added the O. But they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're actually port. We've called it port for years, and we're going to continue to go back and call it port. So that's what they're doing now. Wines labeled port may come from anywhere in the world if they've been grandfathered in. While the names Oporto or Porto and Vinho de Porto have been recognized as foreign non-generic names for ports originating in Portugal. The region that port is from is the Douro region. It is in north part of Portugal. The wine is fortified by the addition of natural grape spirits, also known as aguardiente, and it stops the fermentation. What happens on port is all the wines are, when you think of port, port's only fermented for like 3 days to begin with, and it's very quick fermentation period. The authentic ports in Portugal, the Douro River area, actually the Douro River, or the word Douro is translated into River of Gold, which, you know, makes sense for the area there. I mean, it is gold that they put in the port bottles. The grapes are all indigenous to the area, and they include three basic types of grapes. Now, let me tell you a little bit about these grapes, too. And this is let's see, the three basic types of grapes from this area that they use in port is, and where is it? I just had it here. Oh, they're there. The three grapes are Torrego Nacional, Torrego Francisca, and Torrego Roriz. The Torrego Nacional is a dark-skinned grape, be one of the finest produced in Portugal. It's noted for. It's planted all over the Douro region, the wine region, and it's used in both dry wines and fortified wines of Oporto or Port. Many of the say that the Torrego Nacional are Nacional. I don't know how to pronounce. They really should have pronunciation on these things. Is answer to Francis Cabernet Sauvignon. It's dark, firm tannins. Actually, great varietal characteristic, and it shows great aging potential and all that. And it is the main grape, the Torrego Nacional, is the main grape used in ports. The port blend is nothing, very complex blend. There can be up to 80 other varieties blended in a port. It doesn't, these are the three main ones I just mentioned, but there could be up to 80 different varieties. I mean, just like everything that they grow in that area, including the kitchen sink, can go into it. Australia also grows the Torrego Nacional. Over there, they simply call it the Torrego. Phylloxera devastated vineyards in the Iberian Peninsula, and Torrego Nacional was widely planted and it has taken time to recover from it, but due to its low yield and it was replaced by some others. There is not as widely planted in the areas it once was, but it is still quite widely planted in the Portugal region. 92% of the Torrego Nacional grape is grown in Portugal, and it is the one of the main grapes in the port wine. The other one is Torrego Franca, is another main grapes that is used in it. They're very similar Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon. Those two are close, just like the Torrego Franca and the Torrego Nacional is very close in it. Produces very deep colored wines, a lot of tannin, and they have been used extensively for port over the centuries and over the years. The Torrego Franca is grown in Portugal. 100% of the grapes is there. There might be a vine or two around the world in different places, but as far as all practicality, it is grown and used in Portugal. That is it. So back to port here. Once we get back, I'm having trouble on reading or using this browser. So those are the two main grapes in it. The fortification spirit is sometimes referred to as brandy, but they're saying it really little resemblance to commercial brandies. We talked about brandies last week, and it's a spirit. It's really not brandy. What happens is the fermenting for 3 days gets the deep colors, which really is amazing, but the grapes are very, very dark. Fermentation time is short because the port is really sweet, and so the yeast must be stopped to retain the grape sugar. And so yeast cannot withstand high alcohol, so the winemakers add brandy, or actually it's not brandy, it's natural grape spirits to stop the yeast. from continuing fermenting, which leaves the unfermented sugars behind. So we say brandy, but you know, in all reality, I mean, I tell people it's brandy that's added to it to stop fermentation and to boost the alcohol level. But you know, no, it's spirits. The alcohol content spirits, which stops the fermentation. Then all ports are first aged in wood, but the bottle aged wines spend much less time in wood than they do in actual bottle. A vintage port, for example, be 2 years in wood and then up to 50 years in the bottle. So the wood is there to begin with on most of them, but the bottle aging is what happens a lot on the others. The regions of port is Baxio Corgo, C-O-R-G-O-B-A-I-X-O, Baxio Corgo. Baxio Corgo is the western zone located downstream from the River Corgo, and that's where most of the stuff is located. The region is the wettest port production zone, and it has the coolest average temperature. Grapes grown here are used mainly for production of inexpensive ruby and tawny ports. And I'll talk about those type in a few minutes here. Cima Corgo, C-I-M-A. This is located further up the river, and it's located around the town of Pino. The summertime average temperature of this area is 3 degrees higher, and the rainfall is about 20%, 30% less than what you're going to get in the downriver. Grapes grown in this zone are considered of higher quality, and they're used in making vintage reserved aged tawny ports and late bottled vintage ports. And then Douro Superior. This is the easternmost zone, extending nearly to the Spanish border. Least cultivated region, due because of the difficulties of navigating the river. A lot of rapids and stuff up in that area of the river, so it's not easy to bring the stuff down. Port region has been in existence for centuries, and because of that, it's, you know, a lot of history to it and all that, and that's why an area up like this is hard to maneuver, because it can't take boats down the river. The Douro Superior region is arid, warmest region, and the terrain is relatively flat, so it's easier for mechanism and, you know, machine harvest. But again, now they can do it more, but back then it was almost impossible, back for years impossible to actually do anything with it. The grapes, I just told you a bit about them, but there are lots of grapes used in some of the ports. The phylloxera, most of the vineyards grown on grafted rootstock now, with the exception of the National area of Quinta de Nivol. Their planting began in 1925, and they produced some of the most expensive vintage ports. Somebody's calling for a real estate. I don't know. I gave it to you earlier. Sales of ports jumped to the roof. It has been going more and more lately. It was spread around the world by the British. We're getting a lot of noise in the phone back there. The port was spread around the world by the British. They originally, port was more of a local thing, and then the British discovered it many years ago on their selling ships when they owned the world, and they found that port traveled very well in their ships, and so they moved it and carried it, and the whole world discovered port because of the British. And for centuries, the British have been the biggest port drinkers in the world. They lost that title a couple of years ago now to the French. The French are now drinking more port than the British, much to the British chagrin. It is always been traditionally drank as an after-dinner drink, as a after the meal, after the dessert wine, after everything, you retire to your drawing room and you have your cigar and your port, which is the classic, in your port glass and the men in the stuffy suits and all that. The French are now drinking port as an aperitif. And a lot of it, they're drinking a lot of port as a before-dinner drink. They have their salad. I don't know if you're familiar with their French customs. They have their salad at the end of the meal, and then port is the beginning of the meal. So they're doing it backwards as far as we're concerned here in the States. But they are drinking an awful lot of port. Types of port. This is always... just like there's different types of brandies and different types of wines, ports come in different styles. Ports are typically richer, sweeter, heavier, higher alcohol than unfortified. This is because of the addition of the distilled grape spirits, which is actually similar to brandy, which is called aguardiente, A-G-U-A-R-D. I-E-N-T-E, aguardiente, I believe I pronounced that one pretty close to right, probably way off. This fortifies it and halts the fermentation of the sugars, like I mentioned earlier, and results in a wine that's using 19 to 21, 22% alcohol. This is commonly served after meals as a dessert wine, and it's... used often with a cheese or nuts or even chocolate. Aperitif are being used more and more in different places, not just France. And it's not the aged ports, but more the white and tawny ports that are being served as an aperitif. I was just telling you about the styles of port, different types of ports are out there. The tawny port, the aged tawny ports are wines made from red grapes are aged in wooden barrels, slowly exposing them to oxidation and evaporation. And as a result, the oxidation, they gradually mellow and turn to a golden brown color. This gives them a nutty flavor. Aged tawny ports are sweet to medium dry. You know, I mean, you think of ports, everybody thinks sweet, but actually there are some that tend to be a little bit drier out there. And the tawny can be drier than what some people expect. When a port is described as tawny without an age, a vintage on it, it is basic blend of wood-aged port that has spent time in wooden barrels. Tawny is aged which represents a blend of several vintages. So you don't usually, tawnies are not vintaged. The port characteristics of the years and the wood are stated on the label, so you can read that. Categories 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years of age on it. So you're going to find aged tawnies, but you're not going to find vintage tawnies. The categories target an age profile of ports, but not the actual age. When you say a 40-year port or 30-year port, it is minimum that, but it's not, it could be 42, 43, something like that. It's just a minimum amount. 10 years could be 11, 12. Just a minimum, basically. Cojita, C-O-L-H-E-I-T-A, Cojita port is a single vintage fortified and aged in tawny style for at least 7 years. Instead of saying 10, 20, 30 years on the label, it is actually has a vintage date on the label. So you can have a 1997 Cojita, which obviously is almost 20 years old, 19 years old. Cojita ports should not be confused with vintage ports, though. A Cojita and a vintage port are different. Vintage ports will spend only about 18 months in a barrel after harvest and will continue to mature in the bottle. Goito may spend 20 or more years in wooden barrels before they're bottled. They make a white Goito, so you can look for that too. No indication on price or anything. A good one to look for is Wares, W-A-R-R-E, and their vintage. A good name there, by the way. Garafira, I believe that's it. G-A-R-R-A-F-E-I-R-A. It's a rare, unusual vintage-dated port made from grapes of a single harvest that combines the years in wood with large glass demijohns or containers. It's required that the wine spend some time in wood, usually 3 to 6 years, followed by at least 8 years in glass before bottling. Very time consuming. It's also most closely associated with the company called Nieuport. Although others do it, and you know, there are others popping up as well. It can be found on some very old tawny labels and of exceptional age. Very good, too, from what I have read in different places. I've never had one. From what I've read, they are phenomenal. People buy those, and they're so expensive, they don't share. They don't even share a taste. I've got one. Oh, good. Can I have some? No. It's just about the immediate answer because they're so good and they're so expensive, and they know they're probably never going to buy one again. Ruby ports. It's the cheapest. These are the ones you're going to find all over the place. After fermentation, it's stored in tanks made of stainless steel, concrete, any number of ways to prevent more oxidized aging and to preserve its color. It's usually blended to match the brand style that it's usually sold, and it's fine in cold filter before bottling, which doesn't improve anything with age or anything. You find ruby ports all over the place. And they're the low end, the cheap ones. A reserve port is a premium ruby port approved by the IVDP tasting panel, which is the governing body for Portuguese port. In 2002, they prohibited the use of the term vintage character on the labels of the single ports. So the reserve or vintage port, you're not going to find with a vintage character labeled on it anymore. They can say it's a reserve, but that's it. Rosé port. It's a new one to the market. It's first released in 2008, and it is part of the Taylor Fladgate partnership. Taylor, by the way, Taylor Fladgate, Fladgate, puts out a lot of ports, and they make a very fine tawny, reserve tawny. So, obviously, rosé now. It's fermented similar to a rosé wine with limited exposure to the skin, so it creates the rosé color. White port is made from white grapes. In a wide variety of styles. It's ordinary white ports make an excellent basis for cocktails. Serve chilled white port and sweet white port and tawny quarter is a common drink in the Porto region. Range of styles of the white port go from dry to very sweet. Lagrima, meaning tears of Christ, is the name for the sweetest style of white. I guess it's so sweet you cry. When white ports are matured in wood for long periods, the color darkens, so they usually don't age it too much in wood because it starts changing the color and it's not white so much anymore. Late bottled vintage, LBV. If you see LBV on a label of port, that's a late bottled vintage. Originally, wine that has been distilled for bottling as a vintage port, but was left in the barrel longer than planned or any number of reasons, it became its own distinct style. And bottled 4 to 6 years after the vintage. And it's fined and filtered. Another style is not. So the filtered wine has the advantage of being ready to drink immediately. Many wine experts feel that this convenience comes at a price and believes the filtration process strips out much of the character. So if it, you know, try to find the LBB without being filtered. The accidental origin of late bottled vintages has led to more than one company claiming its invention. The earliest known reference to a solid port with this in a merchant's list is found in the 1964. The Francesca Quantum Melu 1958 bottled in the UK also in 1964, but by 1960, the 1962 vintage LBB was being produced in Portugal. So who knows? Who cares? Who started it? If you see a late bottled vintage, don't look for filtered, unfiltered wines, and mostly common, and they need to be decanted before you drink them because there will be sediment. And don't get the filtered one, get the unfiltered. A bottle matured, you'll see on the bottle unfiltered. These are the names to look at to be sure that they are unfiltered. Or also, you'll see the word traditional, which, you know, it's I don't think it's permitted anymore. I think traditional is one name, just like vintage character. Traditional is something that they've stopped putting on the bottles because it's they can't carry that. Crusted port is usually a blend of port from several vintages. Although single vintage crusted ports have sometimes been made, it's has to be sourced from grapes from a single vintage. Crusted ports affords the port blender the opportunity to make his style and stuff like that. Crusted port is bottled unfiltered, and it needs to be decanted before drinking. They will improve with the age, but the younger ones probably are good. There, you don't have to age them. The date on the crusted port bottles refers to the bottling date. So don't be confused with a date on the crusted port bottles thinking that is the year the grapes were picked. It is the bottling date, which could be a couple years later. It has to age in the bottle for 3 years before it's released on the market. Vintage port. This is a one that you'll see quite often. Vintage port is made entirely from grapes of a declared vintage year and accounts for about 2% of overall port production. Not every year is declared a vintage in the Douro region. The vintage is made in the spring of the second year of harvest. The decision to declare it a vintage is left to the individual port houses. So, the port industry is one where reputations are hard won and easily lost. So they do not take this lightly. They are very cautious about calling something a vintage. In recent years, some shippers or some port houses have adopted the Chateau principle for declarations, declaring all the worst years. More conventional shippers will declare on average about 3 times a decade. It's most renowned. I said the most common. It's not the most common. It's the most renowned type of ports of vintage port from the volume and revenue standpoint. They make up a small percentage of production. They're aged in barrels or stainless steel for a maximum of 2.5 years before bottling, and generally require another 10 to 40 years of bottle aging before it's ready to drink. So since it's kept in the barrels for such a short period of time, they retain their ruby color, and they also retain a fruitiness, a fresh fruitiness to it. They can gain complexity in the bottles. for a number of years. You can find 19th century bottles to still be good. The oldest vintage port still available for sale is the 1815 Ferrara, which is still stated as being in excellent drinking condition. And it'll probably be way out of everybody's price range, except for maybe Fife on the planet. Single Quinta vintage port. Single Quinta ports are wines that originate from a single estate and then continued on to be a vintage port. These are somewhat rare. In recent times, there's been an increase in production of the Single Quinta vintage ports, but they're high-end and small producers, and they're labeled as single vintage, very expensive, and said to be the phenomenal representation of a port. And vintage ports are production year labeled, just a few per decade. It's not something that they declare often. Some good years for vintage port: 2011, the most recent, 2007, 2003, 2000, 1997, 1994. If you're looking for some vintage ports, those are the good years back there. Storing it, hey, treat port like you would wine. Really the best way to approach it, and if you do it that way, then you should not have a problem. It's port's been stated as being very good as a health remedy. I don't know. I don't hear too much about port being a health remedy. It's said that it can prevent gout. But if too much of it can cause gout to flare up. So, you know, you're same thing with wine. We hear all these stories one way or the other and all that. Port houses, quintas are now called shippers. In early history, the shippers were shipping families. They were British, English, Irish, Scotch, and they had their named their famous port houses. Most of the time, port farmers were in servitude to the people who ran the shipping, and they were basically stuck for life trying to pay off so they can, you know, break free, and they never did. That changed, obviously, over the years, but centuries. It was basically an indentured lifestyle if you were raising and making port. So enjoy port. Enjoy all of them. There's different ones out there. It's rather inexpensive. You can find yourself some reasonably priced ports. I make a strawberry port made with Plant City Strawberries, which is a local strawberry area. Sweet and making a very sweet style. And actually, it's really quite good. I'm quite proud of my port.
It is delicious.
I'm sorry?
It is delicious.
And it is available anytime. So swing by, and I'll be happy to let you try out my port.
Yeah, very, very good. All right, let's see. That's right, no events. I forgot that. Try that. Okay. Let's see. Quick shout out to someone who liked one of our tweets. I guess she runs a blog. Blanc de Blonde, Heather Gordon. Thank you for liking our tweet about real estate. I really appreciate that. And sent you a tweet back, thanking you for that. And lives, I guess, in New York. So likes to talk about wine. And she said on her Twitter thing, I like to talk about wine in a way your grandmother wouldn't understand. So trying to figure that out. Okay. So,
my grandmother wouldn't understand most of anything I said. So that's, you know.
So, thank you again for that. Yeah, that's always good. All right. We don't have any events coming up, but you can still visit the winery 7 days a week, except on major holidays. Are you actually closed? I got to ask this because when is it? Monday?
Monday
is a holiday.
We are actually closed. That is one of the four holidays a year that we actually do close.
Wow.
So.
Wow. So. Okay. Well, congratulations. You get some time off, and you know, at least a day. But that's good. So, anytime except this coming Monday, visit the winery.
Yes. Any day except Monday.
You told me 7 days a week. Yeah.
So, be safe out there with the fireworks and on the road and all that too. Say that again. Oh, yeah. Please be safe.
Yes. Yes. We want you to drink wine and enjoy it, but you have to do it responsibly. And you know, it's not going to be a benefit if you have some issues as a result. But anyway, it's good. And I'm glad we did this on port. I didn't realize it was that much. That's a lot to it. We will go ahead and end the show. I don't have anything else pending, so we'll end the show here. And we will see you all next Thursday, which will be July the 7th. I keep thinking it's the 23rd. No, okay, the 7th. July the 7th will be the next show, 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in. And thank you for tuning in this time. Well, and have a great week. We'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.